Our government is broken. Our economy is broken. Our markets are broken. Oh my gosh, it's not even February. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trish Intel Show. I am Trish Regan. Make sure you go to trishintel.com right now. Do me that favor. Go and sign up for my email. Sign up for this podcast. You know, there's so many people right now trying to silence those of us who are willing to speak the truth. We cannot allow that. We got a lot of work to do right now because America really is broken. Our government is broken. These politicians have proven that. Both sides. There's no integrity among any of these people. They are just self-serving politicos, desperate to win at any cost, and they got the media in on the game. This impeachment insanity is all designed to drive America increasingly apart, right? And therefore help both political parties. You know, if Joe Biden actually cared about uniting this country, as he keeps telling us he does, he wouldn't be allowing impeachment in the first place. And for his press person to say, oh, well, you know, he doesn't have a say in this because he's not in the Senate anymore. Give me a break. He's head of the Democrat Party. Believe me, he's pulling some strings. And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have decided this is what is best. Meanwhile, it's not like the other side's any better. I mean, let's not forget that they are going to use this to gin up support for those that feel very disenfranchised in this environment. And so as a consequence, you are going to have a more divided country. So if you actually believe in unity, Joe Biden, why would you be encouraging this? You're president now. You say you want a united country, but what is this? Unite with me or else? I mean, this whole submission thing, right? Where they're somehow now the Department of Homeland Security is worried that there's attacks that will surface. This is a slippery slope. You know me, I'm actually a big security hawk and I want to make sure everybody's extremely safe. But simultaneously, I do not want our First Amendment being violated. And that is what we are at risk for right now. That, you know, they just label anyone that they don't like, anyone who disagrees with them, as somehow being a proponent of hate speech. Any conservative media news organization is vulnerable to this right now. And so this division is only going to increase. And when he sits there and tells us he wants to unite, do not believe it, not for 2 seconds. If he wanted to unite, he would not be looking to impeach a former president of the United States, who, by the way, can't be impeached. I mean, let's just be honest here, right? Legally, there's no meat on this bone, because the way the Constitution is written, it's impeachment is a tool used to get rid of a sitting president. This is no longer a sitting president. In fact, if you do this, it invites a whole host of other controversies. And you can talk to any constitutional attorney that will explain this. Now, their whole theory is they don't want him running again. I don't know if he really wants to run again, frankly, but you know, for them to actually go through these motions to ensure that he will never run again, I'm telling you, that's not it. It's about something else. It's about something much bigger. It is about uniting the country as they see fit. In other words, being able to shut down one entire other side. You divide and you conquer, right? This is divide and conquer. And it's really disgusting to see. I mean, I just look at this country right now. And again, I'll just say it. Our government's broken. Our economy's broken. Our markets are broken. And it's not even February. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about just how broken our markets are. It is like war, right? It is war with the Reddit community and the establishment types on Wall Street. Could this break the system? I'm on it next. Okay, this GameStop thing is actually pretty complicated, and a lot of people are just trying to oversimplify it. And you see that, of course, in the media, and it's David versus Goliath and all that. But it's more complex than that. And so I want to try and break it down. You know, on the one hand, I've told you before, I've never been very enthusiastic about shorts. There's something just sort of counterintuitive to me about it. And maybe it's just I'm pretty simple. I believe if you like a stock, you buy it. If you don't like it, you sell it. But nonetheless, shorts actually do serve a function, right? In this market environment, they increase liquidity because, you know, you need to have a short for every long effectively. And so they're a big part of the overall system. Again, I don't love it when, you know, you see a hedge fund take aim at a particular company. Now, there are those that would argue that that company is prone to be stronger because it doesn't want to be vulnerable to the shorts. But, you know, it's kind of a seedy business, right? Let's be honest. Like, you're trying to tear a company down. And so there's a neat narrative here going on where it's like, okay, all the online traders are coming in to the rescue. The individuals are going to save these companies. But what's really happened here? Because now this has taken on a life of its own where it's so divorced from fundamentals. And that's where it gets a little bit nutty. I mean, any average investor, right, stands a shot at losing a lot of money. And maybe that's okay, right? I mean, those are the risks that you take as an individual investor. So if our markets are really working, then a lot of these people, unfortunately for them, these individual investors will theoretically at some point lose because the company is not worth what they're trading it for. I mean, it's, you know, gone from like $18. I can't remember. I think I told you somewhere in the 20s, like 28 or 30, it was an interesting company. And it was interesting then. And I think its upside was justifiable because there's a great story there that maybe GameStop can really benefit from this stay-at-home environment with more people on their computers. And if they can, you know, divest their retail holdings and get out of the brick and mortar element and become increasingly just an online platform, much like Netflix, then there is a real good story there and there's some great valuation. But now it's, you know, trading upwards of 1,000% of what it once was. And so the fundamentals are no longer strong, but this is a stock that's no longer being traded on fundamentals. So as you see this rush, right, come into the stock, it's creating systemic issues. And that is why you had all the curbs coming in and they were saying, okay, no, you can't trade this anymore. Now, people are saying, oh, it's just because it's the retail investor and they're going after the retail investor. Not really. Anytime that you have that kind of volatility and that kind of volume in a particular stock, you've seen it all the time, right? They say curbs in. It happens all the time. If you watch financial television, any stock that and the market too as well, right? If the market starts, remember the flash crash? When you start to see a huge amount of volatility all in one shot, then these curbs come in. And that is because there are clearinghouses that need to clear the trades. And they're going to demand more collateral, right? Because it becomes a more risky environment when you have more volatility. Robinhood didn't have the collateral. And so they were trying to up margin requirements on their traders. They were trying to get more money basically to justify to the clearinghouses that they'd be able to pay their bills, right? They'd be able to settle the trades because some of these trades don't actually settle for a couple of days. And so once they were able to meet those margin requirements, then they were able to lessen the holds on some of those trades for individuals. But, you know, individual traders, they're pretty angry. They filed a class action complaint saying that the company effectively deprived them of their ability to get any kind of additional gains for no legitimate reasons. And one of the things that regulators are going to be watching in this is whether or not there was any market manipulation. In other words, deliberate market manipulation. It's tricky, right? Because people ought to be able to go on and talk about their favorite stocks. And if they like a stock, they say they like it and they're buying it up, et cetera. That's a certain First Amendment issue. The question, though, becomes, were they deliberately engaged in some kind of pump and dump type scheme? Were they trying to drive the price up with the intention of selling it once it got to a certain level? And that's going to be one of the things that regulators do look at. I mean, that's never okay. It's not okay if a hedge fund does it either, by the way. And you've seen hedge funds in the past get in trouble for this. Nonetheless, I think that there's some interesting and important questions that need to be asked. For example, why is it that a hedge fund owner can get on TV and say he thinks the stock's going to, you know, $2 a share and, yet, you know, your average investor can't get onto a chat room and do the same? They should be able to, really. And so I think this case is going to raise a lot of important questions in terms of what kind of voice the individual investor can have versus what kind of voice, you know, these hedge fund traders have. Ultimately, though, let's just hope that this is not some kind of systemic problem. I mean, you run certain risks, right? When you've got so much money involved and so much trading activity and you saw the market trade down on Friday in part because of concerns about this. But I'd also argue it's on concerns that the whole darn market is completely overvalued anyway. I mean, our economy, for goodness sakes, our economy is in shambles, right? So how do you justify these massive valuations? You can't unless you're going to get total sugar high activity out of the Federal Reserve in the coming months. I'm going to have a look at that next. Okay, we've been through it now. Our government is broken. Our markets are broken. And our economy's broken. I mean, we have shut ourselves down for so long. The only way through this right now is to reopen. The only way to reopen is really through mass vaccination. And we need to be able to come out on the other side. But I don't know if there's going to be anything to come out on the other side, too, because of the devastating effects of what's been going on. I mean, I've said from the beginning, they can't shut the economy. You just can't do that, guys. Yes, you can protect the people that need protection, people that are elderly, people who have underlying conditions. But everything else kind of just needs to keep on going because you need to have something to come back to. Cuomo gets this. Now he does, right? I mean, very interesting that now he's saying we need to reopen because we need something to come back to. Very interesting that Gavin Newsom is now opening up the California economy. Interesting that the mayor of Chicago is now willing to open up the bars and restaurants in Chicago. I don't suppose politics has anything to do with this, right? Once again, proving our government is broken. These political animals are after one thing, themselves, the elevation of themselves. And that means the accumulation of power, and they want to make their guy look good. So great, shut down the economy all during summer, whatever. And now in the middle of flu season, you open it up with two new strains of this virus coming into our country. Meanwhile, take a look at these numbers here. Another 847,000 Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits just in the last week. That's on a seasonally adjusted basis. That's according to the Department of Labor. So nice going, Joe. First week in office, 847,000 Americans. Now, some people are like, oh, well, it's good because it's down from the week before. The week before, 914,000 claims. I mean, we're talking about almost a million people a week that are filing for unemployment benefits. How is this sustainable? On top of that, 426,856 workers filed for pandemic unemployment assistance. This is a program designed to provide aid to those that are not eligible for the regular state benefits, you know, such as gig workers. And a lot of people haven't even filed yet. We're not even into February. I anticipate that these numbers will stay high. It will be a long, dark winter. And I really question how our markets and our economy are going to make it through all this. I mean, forget about what's going on with GameStop and the systemic risk issues that are now threatening our markets. But, you know, our economy, we need to have something there. And right now, our economy is being decimated. And so when you look at this market and the levels it's been trading at, you know, I've said all along, you can't justify it. You just can't justify it. Now, maybe you say it's fake, it's artificial. They're going to put all this money into the system. The Fed's going to keep printing money. I mean, I'm pretty pessimistic about all of that because I just believe in fundamentals. I like to see real growth, real GDP improvement, not a bunch of nonsense from a printing machine. But, you know, we're probably not going to get a lot of that. You're probably going to get a printing machine. You're not going to get a lot of fundamental growth. So you have to take a breather here and look at this market and look at the overall valuations and say to yourself, okay, how much of this really is real? And by the way, how much is sort of the individual investor, right, that's gotten wrapped up in all of this in a way that could be problematic if they're forced out? I mean, you've got a lot of money in GameStop right now. If that money comes out of the market and doesn't re-engage, right, because people lose money at some point, how much of an effect does that have? It reminds me back in 1999. Remember 99 and 2000 and the tech bubble that totally burst and there were so many individual day traders that got sort of hurt along the way. I hope that doesn't happen, but there's a lot of reasons to believe right now that the Dow cannot be justified near this 30K level, at least not for fundamental reasons. Now, we shall watch. We shall see what the Fed does. I do believe they're going to try and inject whatever liquidity they can, and that'll give things a little bit of a bump up. But if we don't at some point actually catch up as an economy to where the markets are, then it does not make sense. I want you to go to trishintel.com to get all the updates from me, trishintel.com. Make sure you download this podcast. We have a lot to talk about. I want you to be careful in this environment because it could get really, really dicey. And we've got a market right now that's proving it can just go all over the place. So sign up at Trish Intel. I'll see you there.